Stay tuned for Bubba and Yurt Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with an excerpt from this week's sermon.
Concerning his brothers here on earth, the Roman Catholic Church teaches, wrongly so, that Jesus had no siblings. They enforce celibacy on their priest, and in doing so, the Roman Catholic Church has invited terrible scandal upon itself. And by their vow of celibacy, they deny that Mary had other children. And Catholics, unintentionally, I think, undermine God's institution of marriage and the blessings of parenthood. Well, Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, mentions Joseph and Mary, and Jesus calling him Mary's firstborn son, rather than her only son, that Jesus is Mary's firstborn. All four Gospels mention Jesus' earthly family, including his brothers, as does Paul's letter to the Galatians and his letter to the Corinthians. There was one day that Paul appears that he was in an especially grouchy mood, and he complained in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, he complained that the other apostles, they get to travel with their wives, and he was always stuck with Barnabas. And Paul was speaking of himself and Barnabas when he asked, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, Peter and the brothers of the Lord?" So Jesus had brothers, and his brothers who became believers and converted, they traveled with their wives, ministering to people. Well, the brothers of the Lord, what were their names? The Lord's brothers. Well, two epistles, Paul's letter to the Galatians and Jude's very short little letter to the Jewish Christians. Jude's letter is the book right before Revelation. Jude is the one who wrote that one book in the New Testament that's most overlooked. And when we get to heaven and we meet Jude, and Jude says, "Well, what did you think of my book?" Millions of Christians are going to say, "I'm sorry, I never got around to reading it." And he's going to say, "It was only one page long. You couldn't read one page." But at any rate, those two epistles tell us the name of one of Christ's brothers, James. The Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus also had sisters. And Mark gives us the name of the Lord's four brothers. Mark chapter 6, verse 3, reports that a crowd at a synagogue asked concerning Jesus, "Is this not the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" So they were saying, "He's nobody special. It's just Mary. He's just the carpenter. Isn't he that workman from Nazareth? We know his family. We know his brothers." Remember, Jesus was Jewish. So his stepfather, who was Joseph, and Mary named his brothers after Israel's patriarchs. James, which of the patriarchs of Israel had the name James? Isn't that a Western name, James? Well, James was named for Jacob. Jacob is the patriarch of the 12 tribes, the father of the 12 sons who became the fathers of the 12 tribes. And the name Jacob is translated into Greek by a name that, when translated into English, we typically render it as James.
We will continue this message tomorrow night, same time, same station. This is Pastor Bob Enyard of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.org, or this Sunday, come on out in person if you're in Colorado at 6200 West Hampton near Hampton and Wadsworth. Give us a call for directions, 303-463-1707. That's 463-1707. Now stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live.
Service with the weekend. I'm not
brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Bob Hope died today at 100 years of age of pneumonia. Our 16-year-old son saw the news on TV, Bob Hope dead at 100. And he said, Bob Hope, I know that name. Who is that guy? That's a trip, huh? And you wonder what happened, you know, like Bing Crosby, and how today the most popular singers and bands, musicians, they have a hard time getting sales, record sales, anywhere near the number of sales that Bing Crosby has had. And why is that? Because our population today is so much bigger than it was when Bing Crosby was big. Why is that? How could Bob Hope be so wildly famous, from vaudeville to radio to television to movies? Well, what's happened is the era of mass media and the information explosion, where in the Bible, the book of Daniel, it says that it's talking about the end times, a period of time far future from when Daniel was writing. And it said that travel and knowledge would increase. And now we have knowledge increasing so rapidly in the world and technology. And so there was the Industrial Revolution and then the Information Age, and we began to be able to communicate across town, across the country, across the world instantly. And we developed forms of media that we can all participate together in, watch news unfold, wars unfold, football games, and entertainment all simultaneously. And originally, there was the ABC radio network and NBC and CBS. And they went to TV, and that was about it. You had a few stations. In Denver, Channel 2 hit. And Channel 2, that was your option. You bought a TV, you put on Channel 2. You know, the lower channels, I think, were easier to power. So you started out, every city started out with Channel 2. And then some years later, they introduced Channel 2, first station in Denver to go color. And so if you had a TV, everybody had a TV, watch Channel 2. Oh, yeah, and then one day Channel 4 came along. Then you had a choice. And early on, there were three major networks. There were three major networks on TV. And there were a few radio networks. And so our culture did not really have the mechanisms to diversify. So America had mostly one culture. So everybody listened to the same radio shows, whether they were toddlers, teenagers, adults, you know, young parents, middle-aged, senior citizens. They all listened to the same music. They all watched the same TV programs, all listened to the same radio suspense dramas, The Shadow Knows. And so America had a single culture, and the stars of radio and TV music of that time were able to become superstars unlike anything we'll probably ever see again because of the diversification of media outlets. There are now, how many TV stations could people watch? Hundreds. 300? An average household, maybe in the country, 200 average. If you don't have cable or satellite, then, you know, you're limited, but to broadcast whatever comes in over the air. But then again, many of those homes have the internet. And on the internet, how many radio stations could you listen to? Thousands. And TV stations, eventually, we pick up news, entire news segments from local TV stations all around the country when we're preparing for this show. And so, you know, it was said about Bob Hope, he's a private individual, and it's hard to know exactly his wealth. But back in the early 80s, it was estimated he was worth $400 million. And that was in the 80s, when a dollar was worth a dollar. So So he was an American icon, and actually later in the program, I wanted to talk about the kind of humor that went into their movies. Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, if they traveled to Africa, the Sahara Desert. I wanted to talk about the kind of humor that went into their movies, their TV programs, and where it's all, where America is at today with the kind of humor that we have today. And is there a connection between what came before and what is now? All right. Also in Denver, Colorado, we have Water World in Denver. I don't know how many of you out there go to Water World. We don't go. We don't take our kids because of the way people dress at Water World. Women in wearing almost nothing. Guys, to tell you the truth, I can live my whole life without seeing a guy in a tight bathing suit. I can live my whole life and never miss it. I know that might be hard for you to imagine, but I really am perfectly fulfilled without seeing guys in tight bathing suits. And I just, it's not a family place to go when you have to see women of every age hardly dressed. So it's just not a family thing to do. So we don't go to Water World, but just an extra warning in case you needed it. They have a gay day coming up at Water World, August 16th. So just a warning, you're warned. You're fairly warned. We got that information from someone at the station, informed us, so we're passing it on to you. All right, let's see what else here. By the way, a couple of years ago, I contacted Water World and talked to their public relations people, a couple people that work in their PR department. And I was saying to them that I've had a radio show on religious radio stations for years in Denver and elsewhere. And I wondered if they would be willing to work with some of the larger churches in Denver and have a modesty day at Water World where we invite the churches, homeschool groups, and at the gate, and it's announced in advance, and people wear T-shirts, shorts, just a modesty day at Water World. And my guess is if they did that, they could pick a slow day, whatever their slowest day is, say a Tuesday or I don't know what day of the week would be their slowest day. And I think they could probably pull in more people than they do on their busiest day of the summer. So take their slowest day of the summer and we could probably turn it into their number one moneymaker of the season. With it, just announce a modesty day, T-shirts required for the women, shorts for the guys, and just have fun with it. To say they wouldn't do it, right, they wouldn't do it, but they couldn't even comprehend it.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here. I'd like to tell you about our manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible called The Plot. And we have so much fun studying the Bible at Denver Bible Church and here at Bob Inyart Live and at seminars we've done all around the country. And we've encapsulated my own study of the Bible, which has gone on now since 1973. So for 30 years studying the Bible, encapsulated that into a manuscript called The Plot. the overview of the whole Bible. And it's available to you for you to enjoy, study the Bible with us. And, of course, it helps Bob and Yurt Live stay on the air. The price is $49.95 plus shipping and handling, 30-day money-back guarantee. And we think, we hope, we pray that you will love it. So many people now, thousands of people, have purchased a copy of The Plot and told us they love it. In fact, many of them follow up getting The Plot on audio tape. And the Bible study albums that we have done through books of the Bible, topics like, well, predestination and free will, Genesis, creation, the fall, the flood, right through the Bible to the book of Revelation, last days. It's a lot of fun. Call us 800-8-NYART. One 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That number you can call into the show or reach our order line. Either way, and we so gay day at Denver's Waterworld. Beware, and Waterworld is so much fun. The facility is just fabulous. It's extraordinary. You know, today we were talking about the difference in, I'm 44 years old, and when I grew up, you know, we'd travel. I grew up in New Jersey. We'd go to the Jersey Shore. We'd go to New York City. We'd go to Florida on vacation, go to the Poconos in Pennsylvania. And I remember that when you went to a vacation spot, it was so beautiful. It was so, the landscaping, the paint, it was so well, it was kept up so well. Everything just looked, it was designed, architected beautifully. And today, in Arvada, Colorado, go to Colorado Mills Mall, and it is gorgeous. The way a resort would have been gorgeous back 35 years ago, today the average new mall is extraordinary. In the parking lot behind Colorado Mills Mall is a wall, a retaining wall, that must go on for a third of a mile, a half a mile. A retaining wall that is unbelievably beautiful. It's just beautiful. And it's behind a mall. It's so weird. I mean, it's so neat. But it's so different. What's happened because of our economy, our successful economy, has enabled all of us to enjoy what it used to be like when you went on vacation. You know, young people growing up today, they don't know that. They don't even notice when things are beautiful. And so Denver's Waterworld, it's just extraordinary. The fun, the facilities that they have there. But with its, so the dress is so inappropriate for families that care about their children and their morality. Forget about the kids, for the husbands and wives. It's a place that doesn't edify, it doesn't build up families, relationships. It's a bad influence. So we don't go to Denver's Waterworld. And if you need any extra reason not to go, on August 16th, they have a gay day there. You would be wise to avoid that day especially. And when we talk to them about having a modesty day once a year, and there are a lot of big churches in Denver, big churches. Thousands of attendees. There is a big homeschool movement in Denver. You know, conservative Christian families. And okay, we're a subculture. And okay, you don't really care about that part of the segment of the market. You don't really care. There are tens of thousands of families who have money, have expendable cash, have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, would enjoy going to Waterworld, maybe once a month during the summer, but just won't go. And so you guys, you could consider, why not, just for the fun of it, bill it as a fun alternative, one day during the entire season, a modesty day where people wear T-shirts. And, of course, they wouldn't do it. You know, we expected that. We presented it as positively as we could. They weren't interested. They wouldn't do it, but really, they couldn't even comprehend it. They couldn't even understand why we were saying this. It was just outside of their frame of reference. They could not comprehend it. So, and it's their park. So there's no Modesty Day at Waterworld this year, 2003 in Denver. Just to let you know, we'll have to wait next year to spend our money there. Maybe next year. Maybe it'll happen. We'll see. And then tonight on Fox News, this is our O'Reilly segment, the O'Reilly Factor, Bill O'Reilly. Tonight, he said that there's no way to know whether or not, he's speaking about homosexuality, and did God make people homosexuals? Did he create them that way or not? And he said there's no way to know whether or not the deity, and by which he means God, there is no way to know whether or not the deity created homosexuals that way, he said. And his reasoning was that belief is one thing, certainty is another. And, you know, I'm sure he doesn't realize this, but by saying that, he's fallen into the trap of, you know, the way of mocking theists, whether it's intentional or not. But that faith, what is faith? Faith is believing something you know isn't true. That's what faith is. Faith is believing something you know is not true, or faith is believing something that has no relationship to the truth. Belief is one thing, certainty is another. Well, that's what atheists say when they declare that you cannot know morality. You cannot be certain of any moral standard. Atheists say that commonly. There's no such thing as absolute right and wrong. Murder is not absolutely wrong. Rape is not absolutely wrong. Perjury, whether you're the president or not, is not absolutely wrong. Sexual assault, the Holocaust. We ask them, well, how about the Holocaust? How about murdering 6 million people of one nationality, one race? No. There's nothing that's absolutely wrong. And, you know, the belief in a moral standard, that's a belief based on a moral God, a God who defines right and wrong. By his very nature, he defines righteousness. Righteousness is that which is consistent with God's nature. Those moral issues, moral deeds, moral acts, thoughts that are consistent with God's nature, and immorality are those things that run contrary to or in rebellion against God and his nature. And so is the Holocaust absolutely wrong? Is it absolutely wrong for Al-Qaeda to kill 3,000 Americans? Was it absolutely wrong for Saddam Hussein's two sons, Queasy and Fumi, or whatever their names are, was it absolutely wrong for them to murder and torture and rape the people they did, their victims? Was that absolutely wrong? 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. By O'Reilly's standard that he proclaimed tonight, well, there's no way to know whether or not the deity could enforce one set of moral standards over another. There's no way to know. And so someone who says the Holocaust is wrong or Islamic terrorists are wrong, they really just mean that they don't prefer it. Their own preference. There's no way to be certain that terrorism is wrong, that Al-Qaeda is wrong. There's no way to be certain. So that's our O'Reilly O'Reilly segment tonight. O'Reilly O'Reilly. And then what else do we have here? Oh, yeah, the French. Ever since the war against Iraq a few months back, the French really have been struggling. There's been this natural boycott of French products in America because of the French opposing us, inciting so fiercely with Saddam Hussein, is what they did, because they had billions of dollars worth of contracts with Saddam Hussein. And so they were defending him. And now an American won the Tour de France again, and again, and again, and again. He won it five times now, five times in a row, And he might. What if he wins it a sixth? That'll be that. He'll have the all-time world record. Lance Armstrong from Texas, no less. The French especially hate Texas because George W. Bush is from Texas. Texas is filled with cowboys and oil tycoons and Americans. They just hate Texas. And so an American, a Texan to boot, who's had cancer, no less, and how didn't he have a number of tumors removed from his body and two tumors from his brain? It's a dramatic story of overcoming hardship to become one of the world's leading athletes. And now he's won the fifth year in a row, the Tour de France. Tour de France. You know, the French language, they want to see how many letters can be silent in a word. Eventually, if it keeps going the way it has been, the entire French language will be silent. And then the world would really have evolved into something better. I'd have to reconsider the benefits of evolution. But anyway, so an American wins again, the French Tour de France, and again, and again, and again, and again. The poor French. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Now, Planned Parenthood has reached, I've got here the AFA Journal, the American Family Association Journal, and we don't have the latest statistics, but the abortions that they have reported in the last couple decades through 2001, they've reached just in the last couple decades, they've reached about half of the murder rate or the murders performed by the Germans during the Holocaust. 3,020,000 abortions done by Planned Parenthood, just Planned Parenthood, from 1977 through 2001. So they're pressing on. They hope to kill as many babies as the Germans killed Jews in as quickly a time as possible. They charge these days, let's see, an estimated $375 per abortion. I wonder if that was during that time period. They had a total income of $80 million from abortions in 2001 alone. $80 million. Over the period of 1977 through 2001, their abortion income, this is what Planned Parenthood took in for killing unborn babies, $900 million, or about $1 billion. And by the way, while Planned Parenthood's abortion procedures are increasing, for example, they increased by 8% from 2000 to 2001. While the number of abortions, the number of babies they're killing is increasing, their adoption referrals are falling. For every one adoption referral the organization made in 2001, they killed 109 babies. They probably don't make as much money doing an abortion as referring a mom for adoption. Why do they even refer for adoption? You know why? Just so that they can say that they do it. That's why. Because what they prefer is to kill unborn children. That's what they prefer. One 800 8 NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. That's our phone number for calling into the show or for the order line. And I was telling you about the plot manuscript. Well, the plot, we've got 11 chapters in the plot. And part one is the big picture of the Bible. The first four chapters lay out the big picture of the Bible. And then part two are the details. First, you look at the big picture of the Bible, then you start to enjoy its details. And part three is just the last chapter. It's called Things That Differ. And that title really is fascinating, Things That Differ. It comes from a Bible verse, but you have to read it to check it out. 1-800-836-9278. Bob Benyard here inviting you to Denver Bible Church this Sunday, 9:30 in the morning for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the worship service. You got to hear the worship team. The music is awesome. Dave Dianovic, Doug McBurney, really fun. Brian and Mary, the team is just great. And the music is wonderful. And then the sermon, well, you just got to sort of bear with the sermon. That's, I deliver the sermon. So we sure don't want to brag about the sermon. But we have a good time at Denver Bible Church, Sunday mornings for Sunday school and the service at 11. And then Sunday evenings, we are at 6 o'clock every Sunday evening. We have our Sunday night Bible study, and it starts at 6 o'clock. Usually we have coffee and dessert, and after the 45-minute study, then we have our, you know, coffee and. We call it back east, we call it coffee and. They don't call it here in Denver, right? Coffee and? Say coffee and what? Coffee and homemade dessert, usually. But at any rate, then it's Q&A and time for sharing and a lot of fun. So Sunday school in the morning, 9:30, it's informal. The Sunday night Bible study, it's 45-minute teaching and then informal for the next half hour. So a lot of fun. You're invited. Come on out, 1-800-8-NYART. Call for directions or to call into the show or the order line, 800-8-NYART. All right, Bob Benyard here to call into the program, 1-800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. We had a family here this weekend. They traveled from Michigan out to Denver to visit the church, Denver Bible Church. It was mom and a dad and five kids and a teenage gal. And what a good time we had with the family. And the wife has been doing the translation of the plot, our manuscript of the overview of the whole Bible, translating the plot into Russian. And they're just ready to begin on chapter 5. And Elisa is the wife's name, Carl and Elisa. And Elisa is a Russian, born in Uzbekistan. And she got her degree in Russia at a college in Russia. Her degree is in English literature and Russian literature. And her professor at the college has been helping her do the translation. And so we're just so thrilled with the progress, really thrilled, and so excited that the Russian translation of the plot is coming right along. I think we told you a week ago that the Swahili translation, two pastors in Kenya, Africa, are translating the plot into Ki Swahili, and they're just now beginning on chapter 2. So one of these days, probably in September, we're going to put the plot up on the internet in maybe four languages, chapter 1 only. Chapter 1, mostly to get people, you know, Russian-speaking people in this country and elsewhere in the world who may be interested in the project, whether they speak Swahili or Spanish or Polish, to get them interested in the projects that are underway, get some proofreading done. So that we hope to do that in September, assuming everything with Bob Benyard Live is going strong. And we're still on the air and still on the web at kgov.com, kgov.com. So this American Family Association Journal for August 2003, the front cover, the headline banner story, Court, U.S. Supreme Court, strikes down laws against homosexuality. So that's the main story. And unholy matrimony is one of the articles. Unholy matrimony, which, of course, we're going that direction in America, right? We had just in Denver, we have a number of reverends, ministers who are calling for the state of Colorado to legalize homosexual abortion. So that, of course, homosexual marriage. I remember that was a slip of the tongue, but I remember over the years, feminists will get mad at men for talking about abortion. And women occasionally will call into this show and say, since I'm not a woman, I have no right to say anything about abortion. And so I say to them, okay, if you can identify anything I've said that 10,000 other women have not said before me, then let us know what it is. And of course, they have nothing to say. Of course. Okay. All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Nori, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Nori. This is it from Osgood, Indiana.
Yes.
Howdy. Welcome to the program.
I'm one of the moderators at TOL.
At Theology Online.
Yeah.
All right.
And I didn't know what the topic of the show was first. I was just asked to call, so
yeah. All right.
I decided to call.
Well, tell
me. I'll tell you one thing. If it's abortion, I'm going to tell you what I think of that.
Well, that's we were talking about that, but go ahead, and then we want to know why you called.
Well, I am very, very pro-life. In fact, tonight on TOL, I wrote an article describing how I feel about abortion.
Oh, my. Now, TOL is TheologyOnline.com.
Yes.
And that's where the Battle Royale 7 has been underway, the debate that I've we're in round 9 between me and an atheist named Zaketh.
Yes.
But, okay, so you put an article about abortion up on the Internet at Theology Online.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
Basically, what I said is that I get so mad when I hear pro-choice liberals complaining about child abuse because they support the worst form of child abuse, which is murder.
Wow. Yeah, Nori, if a baby in the womb, like Planned Parenthood, has killed over 3 million babies just since 1977, and they've taken in about $900 million, almost $1 billion being paid for killing kids, and those kids, many of those kids are sucking their thumbs. And,
yeah.
And they're playing with their toes, and Planned Parenthood goes in and with the suction machine literally rips the baby's arms off.
Yes.
Yeah. It's cruel, and it's child killing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I've talked a couple of women out of abortions in the past, but I can't do much because the law says that it's legal right now.
Right, but thank you very much for saving those lives that you did. It's actually extraordinary, Nori, for us to be able to save the lives of little kids. And that's one thing pro-lifers are able to do.
And all you have to do is get them to listen to the truth, that these are children. You know, it's not a part of the woman's body, it's a child.
Yeah, well, obviously, it can have a different blood type, and it has different fingerprints, and it has totally different DNA, and it has its own eye color, and whether it's a boy or a girl, all that's set at the moment of conception.
Yes.
So, okay, Nori, so what did you call in about?
I wanted to call you and tell you that I was enjoying the debate on TOL.
Ah, does God exist? And it's a 10-round moderated debate at TheologyOnline.com, and it's quite an event, isn't it, Nori?
Oh, yes, it is.
It's extraordinary. And, you know, right now I think my atheist opponent is having a bit of a hard time with a comeback, but I'm I'm expecting that he's going to post, a continuation of his argument so far, and then I'm getting ready with my 9th round post, and then we'll have one final round.
I'm really looking forward to your posts.
Well,
yours
you.
And his both, because I do like to see the atheist point of view on it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see if somebody's going to say there's no God, what kind of argument can they make?
Yeah,
and the argument is empty.
Yes, it is.
It's void of any content whatsoever.
All you have to do is look around you, and you know there's a God.
Yeah, the evidence is overwhelming, and
yeah.
we try to. You know, I've used evidence from science, from astronomy, physics, biology, but also evidence from psychology, and it's really enjoyable. It's really fun.
Oh, you're doing one thing that I would never be able to do as far as that debate, because I have a hard time putting my thoughts on God into one long discussion.
Into a right.
So I really take my hat off to you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Nori. I appreciate that. Hey, where is Osgood, Indiana? Where's Osgood?
I'm about 50 miles southwest of Cincinnati.
All right. All right, southwest. So Cincinnati's in Ohio, so southwest.
Yeah.
You cross over the border into Indiana as you go west.
Pretty much.
Okay, now, so I asked you where is Osgood for the public school teachers who are tuning in right now.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you tell them where Indiana is?
Where Indiana is?
Well, you know, we don't want to leave them out. Well, it's somewhere.
Indiana's to the west of Ohio, just to the east of Illinois, and just north of Kentucky.
All right. Nori, thank
you. And I homeschool my daughter, too.
Good for you. All right. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
thanks, Nori.
Yes.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. And I know what Nori means. When she was encouraged to call at Theology Online, it's not just a website. It's not just a forum for debating issues. It's a community. It really is a community where there are over 3,000 members, and every once in a while they refresh the boards. But right now, I'm trying to recall how many posts are up at Theology Online right now. I think it's approaching 200,000 posts. Something like that. There have been well over a million posts since it was founded back in, what was that, 1998, I think? And it's a lot of fun. And so it's a community, and people get to know one another, people who enjoy discussing certain issues, topics, whether they just want to be encouraging to one another, share information about homeschooling or evolution creation or debate atheist or debate what the Bible says about, say, the gifts of the Spirit or the end times or just whatever. It's a really fun place to go. In fact, it's the most well-run forum I've ever come across on the web. That's theologyonline.com, theologyonline.com. You can get to it from our website at kgov.com. We'll be right back. N-YARDS. That's our call-in line and the order line. This is a live commercial break. Hi, I'm Bob N-YARDS, listener-supported radio right here, Bob N-YARDS Live on KLTT Radio, 670 AM in Denver, 50,000 watts. In fact, KLTT is the number one most powerful Christian radio station in the country, KLTT, and it is one of the top 10 most powerful AM radio stations in the whole nation. One of the top 10. Because it's 50,000 watts. Like in Denver, we've got the 50,000 watt KOA, but that's way up on the dial at 850 AM. And the lower you get on the dial, like two radio stations with the exact same power transmitters, the one that's lower on the dial will have a stronger signal. Assuming that it's engineered properly and they have a good ground, you know, transmitters have to have a really good ground, and whether the transmitter is unidirectional or bidirectional or omnidirectional. But KLTT at 670 AM and KOA is 50,000 watts. KLTT is 55,000 watts. It is a blowtorch times two. It's just extraordinary. So we are thrilled that Bob and Yurt Live is on such a powerful radio station. We get people who call in once in a great while or order materials from Arizona, Kansas, Nebraska, Wyoming. It comes in and comes in New Mexico. Now, Utah, I'm not sure. Got to find out. Oh, by the way, theologyonline.com, 289,000 posts so far. 289,199. And that's just since the board has been refreshed. It's just awesome. It's an awesome community. So check it out, theologyonline.com. one 800 8 yards 1-800-836-9278. We're going to go back to the phones. And again, another call from Indiana. Let's go to Indianapolis this time. Neil, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I miss hearing you live.
Well, we were on in Indianapolis for a while on WNTS, and we went off radio there just a month ago or so. And, Neil, before that, years ago, we were on TV for a number of years, and now we're silent in Indianapolis.
That's right. Somehow downloading you, it's almost like it's not real.
Aw. Yeah, it's we hope and pray that someday if we – Neil, let me tell you, our strategy is to rebuild our base here in Denver. You know, Denver Bible Church, I get to pastor Denver Bible Church. And as the church grows and then as this radio program here in Denver grows – we hope to launch out again around the country, so we'll see what happens.
I think it'll happen eventually.
Yeah. Hey, but we've been doing this for a long time, since 1991, 12 years.
It's all cyclical.
Yeah, and over those years, we've reached a lot of people with the gospel. A lot of people have been saved. A lot of Christians have been encouraged, and so we're going to keep pressing on.
You've made an impact everywhere, Bob.
Well, God bless you.
I called several years ago, and some of your listeners might remember that I work at a music camp every summer.
A music camp? Now, I do. Okay, Neil from Indianapolis. Now, there's a well-known Neil Compley in Indianapolis who's played the keyboards for the Indianapolis Ice hockey team for years and years.
I know that guy.
You know that guy?
Yeah, pretty well, actually.
Are you that guy?
That would be me.
That's Neil. Neil Compley, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob.
So you teach at a music camp once a year.
That's right. And it's really exciting, and we make lots of good music and see lots of musical growth for kids grades 5 through 12.
All right.
And over the years, I've been privileged to work at just about all their camps, and it's been almost 25,000 students to this point.
Wow.
So it's pretty exciting. But I called you several years ago about how there's lots of sexual tension now in each individual dormitory. I called and I told you about how I was surprised when I found that dozens of kids were lined up for the one enclosed shower stall.
Oh, right. Now, I recall the point was that since we're such a sexually free society these days, you would think that kids would not have sexual hangups, whereas
right.
40 years ago, even when I grew up, you went to the beach, the Jersey Shore, Long Island, and after people got done on the beach, they went to the locker rooms, and there were all these open showers, and all the guys went in the guys' locker room, and the women went in the ladies' locker room, and the guys all showered, and it was just all a huge open room.
Sure. Just a bunch of nozzles on the room, or sometimes it was like four or five nozzles on a central pillar, and everybody gather around the
right. And it was
area.
No big deal.
That's right. Didn't think anything of it.
And now the nation is sexually so free. We've had the sexual revolution and all, so that kids would be even less concerned. They wouldn't have hang-ups of just going into the locker room and on the football team or something.
You'd think so, but
yeah.
I got up that one morning in the dormitory, and I went and I found kids lined up like 20 yards back outside the restroom, And I wondered, you know, what's going on here? I went inside, and they were all lined up for the single shower stall that was enclosed. They still had the showers there that I remembered from when I was in college. It was the same dormitory, in fact.
Right.
And they had put a curtain around one of the shower nozzles.
Right.
And all the kids were lined up to use the one enclosed shower.
Wow.
And another staff member and I, who were from the same generation, we taunted and mocked the kids.
Right.
And one kid finally left the line and stepped forward and took a shower.
Right.
With the rest of us. And he didn't the rest of the week. And they all stayed in line and continued to use the one shower.
Yeah.
Well, now, this is what, 5 years later or so.
Okay. All right. Now, I do. That illustration you gave 5 years ago, was it? It stuck in the mind. I remembered it.
Right. Well, now, this is even worse now. Of course, all the showers are enclosed at all the colleges now.
Okay.
But now the kids will go to the shower room fully clothed with all their toiletries and a complete change of clothes for the rest of the day.
Oh.
And that's how they shower. So it takes forever for the kid to, you know, go in and undress completely.
Right, inside the little tiny stall with the curtain.
Right, and then when he finishes, he dresses completely in a different set of clothes.
In other words, our sexual liberation is really creating kids who are more uptight than ever.
It's unbelievable, and at night at bed check, I'd go in the room and I'd only see one kid in the bed, in, you know, one of the two beds. And I'd ask, you know, hey, where's your roommate? Well, he's in the closet changing clothes. they would actually get in the closet and change clothes. In fact,
you know what, Neil? Okay, go ahead.
Well, just all week, except when we took a trip to the water park, I never saw a kid even with his shirt off in the dormitory.
Right, right.
These kids are getting dressed for bed.
Light
off in the shower. Now, or, I'm sorry, in the closet.
Right.
And
well, I've got... I'm seeing another dynamic in this story from the last time.
Okay.
From the last time, the only lesson I drew from it was that our sexual liberty was creating kids who were all messed up.
Right.
They were more repressed than anything in the normal ways. They might be sexually free in the perverse ways, but in normal interacting, they're like repressed. They're uptight.
Right.
But there might be another dynamic at play also.
Sure.
Something we've said over the years on this program is one of the problems with homosexuality is that in a heterosexual world, you can have social events with no sexual tension because
sure.
You have events. You have a ladies' conference, a ladies' retreat, ladies, you know, renting a cabin, all going off together, have a day, a night, a weekend, no sexual tension because it's all women. Or you have guys, a guy's camp, whatever you're talking about, in the locker room, and there's no sexual tension, but it's all guys. But as soon as you introduce homosexuality into a culture as an accepted behavior, then there is sexual tension in almost every social environment.
That's right. It's so sad. It's so tragic.
Because these guys, they might not know every other guy in the cabin, and the guy next to him could, you know, 10% chance he's a homo or bisexual.
Right. In fact, I had a little counseling with the first homosexual or self-proclaimed gay camper I've ever had.
Yeah?
He's a seventh grader.
Oh, no.
And he would never say, I am a homosexual. He would only say, I think I'm gay.
Oh, brother.
He defended homosexuality, but he never went beyond saying, I think I'm gay. So
right.
he's confused. He's believing the lies.
Yeah, and that's what they're conditioned at very young ages now to keep that as a real open possibility.
That's right.
Right, to explore that. And Planned Parenthood, we read on the air years ago the pamphlets they distributed here in Denver to young kids. I think I might be a lesbian. Now what do I do?
Right.
And they gave explicit instructions on how to get started in lesbian sex to young girls.
Asking the kids when they first realized they were heterosexual?
Right.
Yeah. That's wicked.
Yeah, it is. And they did the same thing. I think I might be a homo, or whatever word they used.
Right.
For a brochure for young boys. Now what do I do? And they literally, in these two brochures, which I've kept, I still have copies of them, and they're so vulgar, it's almost impossible to read from them on the air. But they teach young children who've never had any sex before and who don't know, they literally tell them how to get started in homosexual behavior.
And for most of them, it's never, nothing has even crossed their minds in the realm of sexuality.
Well, and I don't know about that now because of cable TV. And,
oh, sure. Yeah,
right.
But they're being destroyed.
Right.
Younger and younger.
Yeah, they are. What a despicable thing is happening to our society and our kids.
But now even kids would wake up in the middle of the night and instead of just running to the restroom, they would have
get
completely dressed. They would get completely dressed. And I had some kids who said, I didn't think I could make it, so I used, you know, they used an alternative in their room.
Oh, brother.
And I was even surprised. I mean, this is awful, but a lot of these kids won't even use urinals if there's somebody else in the room.
That is weird.
It is.
So this is the youngest generation of kids coming up through the public school system.
My floor was mostly 6th and 7th graders.
6th and 7th graders. What a trip. And these are supposed to be healthy kids because
sure.
they stopped teaching them geography and they're teaching them how to think. And they're teaching them to understand their sexual selves and they're creating a bunch of uptight, messed up kids.
That's right.
What a shame.
No freedom in that, Bob.
No, that's terrible. Neil, hey, thank you so very much.
Good to talk with you.
God bless you.
You too.
Wow. Wow, what a trip. So that, you're probably not going to get too many reports from a summer music camp, and especially not an analysis of trends in sexuality among young people in America. But there you got it from Neil Copley, the longtime organist for the Indianapolis Ice, a hockey team. I've been to one of their games, and I tell you, it was a lot of fun. It's they played in their version of the Denver Coliseum. There's probably 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. It's not the NHL. What's beneath the NHL? The minor leagues? Hockey? I don't know. Baseball is minor league. Whatever it is. It's the one league below. And it was so neat to hear Do Right and Risk the Consequences. I go into the Coliseum, thousands of people there, and I hear Do Right and Risk the Consequences being played by the keyboard, the organist, over the loudspeaker during the game. It was just a trip. It was great. It was a lot of fun, and that was Neil Copley. So I still cherish my Indianapolis Ice jersey with Enyar on the back and the number Ecclesiastes 10:2 on the sleeves. Pretty neat. Thank you, Neil. Hey, we're out of time. Where'd the show go? And Bob Hope, you know, what a neat guy. Conservative Republican throughout his career. But, you know, the humor, we go back and see some of the old movies we want to show our kids, and so much of the humor is sexual immorality. Married guys, single guys, whatever, constantly oogling at the women and just constant jokes about sex. Constant. The men dressing like women, and back then it was cute, and look where it's led to. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.